I looked at my watch. I had gotten to the dorm early, that half-conscious premonition at work, maybe, and it had just gone 3 now. I could easily get to the Trailways depot before she left for Connecticut, but I wasn't going to do it. She was right. We had said a brilliant goodbye in my old station wagon. Anything more would be a step down. At best, we would find ourselves going over the same ground. At worst, we'd splash mud over last night with an argument. We want information. Yes, and we had gotten it. God knew we had. I folded her letter, stuck it into the back pocket of my jeans, and drove home to Gates Falls. At first, my eyes kept blurring, and I had to keep wiping at them. Then I turned on the radio, and the music made things a little better. The music always does. I'm past 50 now, and the music still makes things better. It's the fabled automatic. I got back to Gates around 5:30, slowed as I drove past Frank's, then kept on going. By then, I wanted to get home a lot more than I wanted to draft hires and a gossip with Frank Parmelo. Mom's way of saying welcome home was to tell me I was too skinny, my hair was too long, and I hadn't been standing close enough to the razor. Then she sat in her rocking chair and had a little weep over the return of the prodigal son. My dad put a kiss on my cheek, hugged me with one arm, and then shuffled to the fridge for a glass of Mom's red tea, his head poking forward out of the neck of his old brown sweater like the head of a curious turtle. We, my mom and me, that is, thought he had 20% of his eyesight left, maybe a bit more. It was hard to tell because he so rarely talked. It was a bagging room accident that did for him, a terrible 2-story fall. He had scars on the left side of his face and his neck. There was a dented-in patch of skull where the hair never grew back. The accident pretty much blacked out his vision, and it did something to his mind as well. But he was not a total idiot, as I once heard some asshole down at Gendron's barbershop say, nor was he mute, as some people seemed to think. He was in a coma for 19 days. After he woke up, he became mostly silent, that much is true, and he was often terribly confused in his mind, but sometimes he was still there, all present and accounted for. He was there enough when I came home to give me a kiss and that strong one-armed hug, his way of hugging for as long as I could remember. I loved my old man a lot, and after a semester of playing cards with Ronnie Malenfant, I had learned that talking is a wildly overrated skill.